In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us continue the services. And as you children here surely know, in this Bible there are 66 chapters or books. They are all of different sizes. The longest is the Book of Psalms, which is nearly 100 pages. And for my text, I will read the shortest, one of the shortest books, the Epistle of Paul to Philemon, which is his shortest book. This is a little over a page in the Bible. I will read from verse 8 to verse 22. And the words are in Jesus' name. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee with that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such as I, Paul, as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, my own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it be of necessary, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, special to me, and how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me thy own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Amen. Dear listeners of the Word, these services have already reached Sunday evening, and much of the Word has been preached, and many texts have been used for sermons. Some years ago, on the Summer Service Radio, a certain preacher who had served for many years, and he was asked, how does he prepare for a sermon? This dear brother said, I always have three prayers before I go to preach when I prepare a sermon. First, I pray to God that God would show the correct text from which God wants to preach. Secondly, that God would open the understanding what he should speak. And thirdly, and that God would give courage to speak that what God likes or wills. This same desire of the heart is surely for all those brothers coming here, and so do I have. When I got this service request, sermon request, in the beginning of February, I had just returned from a missionary trip from Africa. There, in the journey of 1.5 weeks with American preacher in 14 different congregations in Togo and Ghana. And the experiences there were strongly in my mind. All that I had seen and experienced in the trip. Perhaps it is the reason why this portion of God's Word came to my mind. Here at these summer services, as you have heard, 8 new SRK products have been published. As our chairman, dear brother, spoke of in the opening, of which he published is this new book, The Freedom of Christ, this new publication. This word freedom is a very powerful word and is such a matter for which people, when people already have been willing to sacrifice much for freedom, their personal freedom, but also the freedom of their own country. If we think the opposite of freedom, isn't it prison or slavery? In this annual book, the theme, The Christian's Freedom, many can think in this way, that flock which are called these conservative Lestadians, it is far away from freedom. There can be someone listening here at the service area or around the radio or internet. There can be a person who thinks that we children of God are very captive and programmed in the position of a slave or a prisoner. But I believe that you children of God with me, that you experience completely different. Here in this text, which was written to Philemon living in Colossia, a friend of Paul, there are two characters here, the Apostle Paul, who was imprisoned due to his faith, and the other one was Onesimus, a slave who had escaped from his master from Colossa. There are many small children here in this tent, and you know that a person will be put into prison when he has done a great crime, that you can receive a penalty or a fine for a small crime or probatory prison sentence. But to be imprisoned and to be a prisoner, you must do a big crime. We see here in this text that Paul was not a prisoner because that he had broken the laws of society then against the rule of Caesar or the earthly system, but he had been, because of his faith, for the proclamation of the gospel, he was imprisoned. If we think of slavery, it has been around all times, even though with international laws and rules, it is forbidden, but it is still appearing, and we can hear it in the news every once in a while. The word slave has a bad ring in our ears. When we read the Bible, we see there is much spoken of slaves and slavery. Abraham, slaves, and many patriarchs had slaves. These slaves were typically members of foreign countries who were prisoners of war, or they had been captured from the different country and they had been brought to the ruling country. The position of the slave was very poor, if we say in the doctrinal sense. The master could kill the slave if he so liked, if he was not satisfied with his work, that the law of the country would step in between. In the God's law of Moses, there was a clear rule. The people of Israel, they could not take slaves from their own people. If someone had to sell themselves to be a slave for someone else, after 6 years, on the seventh year, the slave must be set free and be released. During that time, when an Israeli citizen was a slave of someone else, the law of Moses taught he cannot be considered or handled as a slave, but more like a servant. And we also should take notice if the slave was satisfied with what he had and did all that the master asked, his position could go well, and he could rise up on the ladder and get into a better position. We all know Joseph, how he was sold. His brothers sold him into Egypt to be a slave. We have already heard of that at these services. First in the house of the Potiphar, and then in the house of the Pharaoh. He served well. Then he was the second most important man, the finance minister, or the number two minister in the land of Egypt. And in the same way, Daniel, when the people of Israel were captive in Babylon, they were slaves there. And Daniel understood that this happened to the people of Israel for the sake of their sins. He wanted to serve the government as well as he could. The government trusted Daniel, and he was raised for a high position. If we think of all of the slave's position or status, it has been very cruel and terrible what the slaves have experienced. In our journey in January, in our first day of the journey on Saturday, before Saturday night services, our African translators brought us to such a fortress the Portuguese had built in the 1400s, which became a center for slave trade in that area, that was called, which was called the Slave Coast, that which we, what we saw in this fortress, it was turned into a museum which told of the slave history of slavery. It was very terrible to see. Slaves were handled as animals and many didn't treat their people as animals. They could be stamped with a branding iron on their back. There were those irons there at the museum. They were imprisoned and taken on slave ships, mainly over the Atlantic to North and South America. They were put in ships and so on, as herring in a container, and many of them died along the way. That's the worst of slavery. The slave could receive good or poor handling. This Philemon, to whom Paul sent this letter there in the congregation of Colossians, one slave was this Onesimus, who had escaped from his master. And he had wound up in Rome. Onesimus had, there in the service of Philemon, he had desired freedom, and he wasn't satisfied with his conditions. And he was able to escape, perhaps he thought, and life is wonderful when I am now free from Philemon and I can go wherever I want to. But he did notice something important was missing. God led it so that Onesimus made it to Paul. Perhaps he met believers there. And Paul's imprisonment was in a lighter way, form. He had been in the prison in Philippi. They had been tied down with Silas with iron bands in a cold cell. In Rome, Paul was more like in a home arrest. There was a soldier guarding the house, following the situation, so that Paul would not escape anywhere, but he could meet believing people and friends. He could discuss of faith, and he could proclaim God's kingdom. And perhaps some believing friend brought this Onesimus to Paul, and he could, and he received the grace of repentance. And here Paul refers to when he says that he is my own son. Now he is no longer Onesimus, who is unprofitable, but now he could be profitable to Philemon, the master. We noticed in this text that Paul did not begin to change the societal structure, that we have to prohibit slavery. He was surely of this mind, that if someone is of a slave's position, that he must be treated fairly as a person. And that is how God's Word teaches in the book, Old Testament books. But he thought that this slave, Onesimus, was the property of Philemon. And Philemon could decide what his situation or judgment would be. Perhaps this situation was difficult for Onesimus. How can I return? What will my master say, and how will he react? Paul wrote in this way, this letter with a salutation to his friend Philemon. In the same way, he sent the letter to the Colossians. And Onesimus got a believing friend to be a partner along the journey. In the home of Philemon, believing people, the congregation local, kept services there. In the beginning of the chapter, which I did not read, in the first four verses, it speaks of this. That there was an Apphia, perhaps Philemon's wife. And he speaks of a fellow soldier, Archippus. Perhaps he was a servant of the word. Paul's idea possibly was that when this letter was read for everyone to hear, that others, that other than Paul, that this Onesimus, who is now a believer, that he wants to serve with a correct mind, that he will be received with a good heart. As we heard, Paul said, if I have Christ's right to do what I need in the name of love, in the sake of love, I beseech thee, being such as I am. Doesn't this have the mind of Christ? A mind influenced by God's love and His Spirit. We do not want to force anyone to do anything. We hope that God, in His love, will influence the person's heart to decide how they should act in each situation. Perhaps this Onesimus, unprofitable, which means unprofitable, perhaps he was lazy and disobedient. And perhaps he was of no worth for the master, and perhaps he even damaged or did some bad things for the owner. Now when Onesimus had repented, the value structure changed completely. He had received such a gift in his heart. Everything was seen in a different light. Most important was, he can be a believer. And he knew that if he would receive death penalty, his portion was good. He could get to heaven. He has the peace of conscience, peace with God. And for that reason, he was ready to go to his master. Paul, however, says, send him back to me. Even though I would rather keep him here, that he would serve me here, Philemon says. That Paul says that you can keep him there, for I am imprisoned here. But he says, I do not want to do anything without your permission, that you would do it with your own free will. Now he is much more than a servant. He is a brother, not only for Paul, even more, Paul says here, for Philemon. Paul respected the law of the country, but he was ready to pay back the damages that Onesimus may have caused. He even said that he would pay back everything, and he would sign it with his own name, that he is ready to pay back all the expenses that there may have risen from Onesimus. Doesn't this show, dear brothers and sisters, in a very beautiful way, this love that is in the midst of believers? Here in this world, many people think in this way. Slavery, imprisonment are the worst things that a person can experience in life. If we think of normal life, and that is possibly how it is. But we know that in our own country, that in prisons, correction facilities, where God's work has also been done, amazing things have happened. That some people in the ruins of their life have received the grace of repentance and have received peace into their hearts, and they wait for their moment of release, and they hope for a new life. All this old will remain behind. Then Paul says of himself, I am a slave of Christ. What does this mean? Paul describes himself that for the sake of the gospel he is imprisoned, that he wants to do his work for that master, to that heavenly Father, that he has set him free from sin as a former Pharisee and as a one fighting against God's kingdom. What is it today that prisons people's freedoms? Many people want that kind of freedom, that they can do sin without having anyone telling them not to. They want to think freely. This is the joy of life for themselves. This is the trap of the enemy of the soul. Many times it can deceive the child of God. This worldly life and sinful life. Jesus said himself, everyone that does sin is a slave of sin. Everyone that sins is a slave of sin. When we hear such words, do we think that surely we all sin? And often we do, in thoughts and words and deeds. Are we all slaves of sin? On our own behalf, we are. We are sold into slavery, sin, that old portion, our corrupted mind, our flesh and blood, as the Bible here speaks, and is common to say. On that side, we are. We are slaves of this sin. But Christ, through the gospel, again and again, he wants to set us free from those bonds that are bringing us away from God's kingdom, tying us down to this world and to the power of the enemy of the soul. Sin enslaves people, a person. Sin imprisons a person. And we know that many times sin leads, in a temporal sense, into bad things. We know it is important that we should fight against sin and put those sin away when it feels like, even when they feel small. The enemy of the soul, as we know, he is a master of many tricks. First, he says that they are so small and that you don't have to tell anybody. And that if we don't want to take care of those matters, perhaps bigger things will come. And perhaps then you will feel that those matters are so bad that I don't dare say anything to anyone anymore. In this way, sin tends to bind us and to take us away from God's kingdom. There is another matter that may enslave people, which can enslave a child of God. It is the slavery of the law. We know that there are many people who who try to fulfill God's law, living in a good way and doing good deeds and avoiding all evil. If we think in a temporal sense, it is good. And that a person tries to live in such a good way, it is good. But if it is a way to appease God and to atone for all their own problems and sins, the Word of God says, it is as a filthy garment before Him. It is not acceptable to God. In this slave of the law, a person tries and tries to do better and better. If he's honest to himself, I will never succeed completely. In some cases, it may be, some person may say, this state of evaluation disappears, and like this person in Africa in the first missionary trip 7 years ago, old man with whom we discussed for a long time, he wanted to know what we understand of baptism, and we told him, we said that baptism is a covenant of good conscience. It is very important that we can return again when we fall into sin, and we can put sin away that has attached. This old man said, with tears in his eyes, he said, as a young man he was baptized, and after that he has done no sin. The enemy of the soul had lost the feeling of sin in this man. If you think in this way, we cannot help you if this is what the way you think. If God gives you the feeling of sin, then you can repent. The feeling of living, the fear of sin, is a characteristic of a believer. The conscience remains sensitive if we feel so. If in thoughts or acts we have done, or if we have fallen into sin, and if we feel and we put them away, and we can believe them forgiven in grace, it brings a thankful and a free mind. It brings that freedom that cannot be found anywhere. The most valuable freedom. In the book of Galatians, in the 4th chapter, Paul speaks of the example of the law with the book of the Old Testament of Hagar and Sarah. You remember how Abraham and Sarah, how they were, Abraham was almost 90 years and there were no children coming. Sarah gave his own slave to Abraham. So Hagar gave birth to Abraham in that hope so that he would be the inheritor. How did it happen? When Hagar noticed that she was pregnant, she began to make fun of Sarah because she was not able to bear a child. Then when Isaac was born, Sarah was 90, began to grow, he began to grow. Ishmael, Hagar, and Abraham's son, he began to tease and bother Isaac. Sarah said to Abraham, chase away that slave's son. He cannot receive the inheritance of Sarah. This is a picture of God's kingdom. The mother, Sarah, is the congregation that gives birth to children onto God's kingdom. And Agar is an allegory of a person born into bondage and is not free. In the fourth chapter of Galatians, in this way, Paul speaks that if you want to live under the law, can't you hear what the law says? In the holy books it is said, Abraham had two sons. The slave gave birth, and then a free woman gave birth to the second. That this bondwoman was born after the flesh, and he of the free woman was by promise. The free woman is of two covenants, the one from the mountain of Sinai, which generated bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar means the mountain of Sinai, which is Jerusalem, which now lives in bondage. But the heavenly Jerusalem is free, which is the mother of us all. Paul, in the same letter to the Galatians, at the end of the previous chapter, beginning with with verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith of Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond or free. There is neither male or female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Dear brothers and sisters, when we are Christ's own, we are descendants of Abraham, and we receive that heavenly inheritance after the end of life here on this earth. For that reason, we are believing that we will get to heaven. We remember this, how the disciples once came unto Jesus and asked him, "Who is the greatest of us, the sons of Zebedee?" They wanted to, that in the glory, they wanted to be beside Jesus. Jesus taught them, "He that desires to be the greatest of all, he be the servant of all. He that is first, he be the slave of others." Jesus took the form of a slave and came to be a person. He can be an example for us that we would serve one another, that we would love one another, and that he is an example that we would bless one another. This kingdom of God is an amazing kingdom of grace and forgiveness, where we can feel true freedom. Now, dear brothers and sisters, everyone in your own address, you can believe all your sins and doubts, transgressions forgiven, in Jesus' holy name and blessed atonement blood, you can be blessed and secured. I came to this place in many temptations and doubting, and I want to ask, can I remain believing my sins forgiven? So I want to believe with you in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.